Jesus, I'm going to talk about Jesus and the women of his time, women who met Jesus, which is the theme for this meeting. And we've looked at Jesus in Luke 4, going into the synagogue and taking Isaiah's prophecy and reading it out and saying, today the scripture has been fulfilled. And we've determined that today is still today. The scriptures say, today if you hear his voice. And Kristen read, I think, Psalm 95, which says, today, if you hear his voice. So today is still today, and it still applies to us. And we've looked at the background, the cultural background that Jesus grew up in, and saw the restrictions upon women, the limitations put forth, and women being seen as subservient and not really regarded. Yet Jesus did certain things which were quite radical in dealing with women. And you've done the group work and you're all right. You're all seeing. I thought, group one, I thought you were preaching my message. I thought, hang on a minute, they're preaching. But it just showed me that you can see him. You can see what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. And I thank you for what you have done so far. But Jesus, you're seeking to reveal yourself to us. And you dealt with every one of these women we're going to talk about. You dealt with them individually. So even though we are here together, you're seeking to meet us individually. So I pray that we will see you. Open our eyes to see you. Open our understanding. Let us, Lord, encounter you even now. I say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we do these trainings, like Jesus and the women of his time, we will take a whole day to do it and explore and then pray and interact with the Word of God. But because there isn't enough time, I won't read the scriptures. But you can read them when you go. Because we know, every one of us here knows almost all the stories we're going to talk about. So we start off with Mary of Bethany, which the last group talked about. And this is a story of Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, who sat at Jesus' feet to hear his word. So the scenario is a rabbi teaching a woman the scriptures. And we know that in those days, it was an abomination. They said what? It would be better to burn the Torah than to teach a woman. So Jesus decides, I'm going to teach Mary. And that's the thing. Like I say, the things I teach, I learned them at the feet of Jesus. The Holy Spirit taught me everything I teach. And for, I think since the 90s, 1994, Friday, every Friday I lock myself up in my bedroom and nobody calls me to interact with the Word. I love the Word of God. And I want you, if you love Jesus, you must love the Word. Because the Word of God is the only tangible manifestation of Jesus Christ that we have. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through him. And without him, the Word, there was nothing made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot comprehend it. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So I love the Word. Sometimes I can take my Bible. It's like I want to push it in and just push it in. And I'm saying, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Give me a hunger. Job said, I have loved your Word more than my necessary food. Sometimes I fast so I can understand the scriptures better. Love, start by loving the word. Well, Jesus sat down with Mary and taught Mary the word of God. In effect, Jesus was teaching Mary about himself. That was unheard of and improper. And Martha was quick to reprimand Jesus. Are you not a rabbi? Are you not a man of God? Don't you know that it is not proper? It is not a woman's place to sit with the word. Are you with me? And Jesus rebuked Martha, but praised Mary for choosing the good path, the freedom to know God. That's the first, one of the first freedoms we have. The freedom to know God. The freedom to know what God's word says. We're free to read the scriptures. I was, earlier this year, we were in one country. And the men beat the women up with a Genesis 3 story. That it was woman who put man into all of this. And they have a self-righteous attitude with it. And so blame women for every calamity. I stood in front of them and I said, hang on a minute. Where was the man when the woman was talking to the serpent? None of them had thought of it. I said, let's go to the scripture. The Bible says he gave it to she gave it to her husband who was by him. He was right there by him. That was a shock. The place erupted. But do you know that when we went to their traditional Bible, that bit had been taken out. That the man was with her when she spoke to the serpent. But that set them free, knowing that it wasn't just their fault. It was a joint effort of rebelling against God. So read the scriptures. Find out what the scripture says yourself. Jesus will teach you. In this instant, Jesus overturned the tradition and taboo of not teaching a woman to read the Torah. Now we can read the Bible. I tell women, feel free. Go as far as you want. You want to go to Bible school, go. Whatever, as far as you can go with the word of God, feel free to go. There's nothing binding you. And if your pastor doesn't have time, it's okay. We have a teacher in the Holy Spirit. I say to him, like a child, I don't understand. I'm constantly reading and saying, I don't understand. Sometimes when I'm being silly, I say, please, teacher.
Sorry, I have to go. Thank
okay,
you,
blessing. Bless you. Please, teacher. I say, please, teacher. I have to go. I say, praise God for that. I say, please, teacher. I don't understand. I am always saying, I don't understand. Let me, and he's the spirit of understanding. So I pray, give me the spirit of understanding. Let me understand. Amen. So that was Mary. Jesus opened the door for us to know the scriptures. Then we come across a woman at the well. Her story is in John 4, 7 to 30. This one is quite quite dramatical scenario we have. Jesus, not just talking to a woman, but a foreign woman. You see, in those days, Jews never passed through Samaria. It was a taboo for a Jew to contaminate. I mean, you would contaminate yourself if you went through Samaria. So Jews traveling from Judea to Galilee, instead of going through Samaria, which is the shortest distance, will circumvent, and then Jesus on that day said, I must need go through Samaria. That's the King James Version. I have to break this taboo and go through Samaria because I have a meeting with a woman. Not just any woman, a foreign woman. Not just any foreign woman, one that many now consider a prostitute. Now, remember that a respectable Jewish man would not talk to a woman in public, and a respectable woman will certainly not talk to a man. And then not just any woman, a Samaritan woman on Samaritan soil. I love this story so much because that brings you and I into the picture. Mm-hmm. We are all outside of Israel. Yeah. We are all non-Jews. Yeah. But that instantly brought us in. That Jesus will go whichever way, whichever direction we are in, he will take a detour and come so he can meet us. Isn't that awesome? Yes. And Jesus broke the tradition. He deliberately went through Samaria to meet her. Then he entered into a conversation. He was not talking about the weather. He was not talking about food or... Jesus revealed himself for the first time as the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Until that time, even his disciples, he had not come to reveal himself to. You remember, it was Peter when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am? And who do you?" Then he said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father." But this woman, Jesus went and entered into a conversation with her. And that conversation was a whole theological, can you imagine? A whole theological argument concerning the Messiah and bringing her to the place of revelation that he who speaks to you, I am he. He revealed his mission on the earth first time to a foreign woman. Hallelujah. It means that Jesus can reveal himself to any of us at any time. The woman's response was to become the first evangelist. The first evangelist that Jesus had was this woman. She left her pot. She had come with her pot to get a bit of water. Jesus said, no, the pot is too small. But I can give you water that will rise up in you. And that water will be a river. The Bible says she dropped her pot and she ran to tell the whole village, come see a man. One day I'll start a ministry, come see a man ministry. Just to say to people, come meet Jesus. Come see a man. You see, when you meet Jesus on this level, you cannot hold back. You cannot hold it back. That's why I say I'm just crazy about him. Crazy about him. I dance for him. You should see me in my bedroom. And I put on Paul Wilbur's song. Dance with me, oh lover of my soul. To the song of all songs. Roma, I dance for him. I love dance. He loves it when I dance in worship and adoration. Like this morning, I woke up, I prayed till about nearly 2, and then I set my alarm for 7. And when I woke up, he just said, worship me. So I got out of my bed. Jackie knows it when I get up like that. And then I sing and I dance and I dance and I dance. You cannot contain it when you've met the man. When you felt his touch. This woman dropped her bucket and ran out. And a whole community met Jesus. Let me tell you a story. I spoke in Kenya, 2011. There was a woman there. And this woman, her husband had forbidden her from attending my meeting. But she said she told herself, last year she came. He said, I should not go. This year he's saying I should not go. I'm going to go. He can do his worst when I've gone, because I want to listen to this woman. So she came to the meeting and he kept texting her until she switched her phone off. So after the meeting, I talked about the love of Jesus. After the meeting, she went home really terrified. The man was so angry that he had taken himself off to the village and left her a note that he was very angry, that he didn't want her to come and meet him that angry. So I will come back tomorrow. She said she knelt by her bedside and she began to weep because she knew she was in trouble for going to listen to the word. She said as she wept, she felt a hand on her shoulder. She turned around, there was nobody, but the hand was still on her shoulder. And she heard the words, I came to bring peace. Instantly, peace settled on her, and she went to bed. Early the next morning, her husband came. When he came, he had bought plantain, potatoes, tomatoes. You know, African love will not bring flowers. An English man will bring food. He brought vegetables and things for her to cook with. And then he said, why are you still here? Hurry up and go to the meeting. The man had totally changed. She came to testify. She said, I am an African woman. I have never known love. I have never been loved. But today I have met love. And let me tell you, my husband will know love. My children will know love. My whole village will know love. We have an evangelist in the making. Amen. That she's going to declare the Jesus she has met, who has shown her great love. So this woman shows us that when we truly meet him, we cannot sit down. We rise up. It's a natural thing. When you're in love, don't you tell people. When you're in love, some of us haven't been in love for a long time. But youthful love. Everybody sees it in how you come. People just know that you're in love. And it's the same with Jesus. Obviously, you don't know what I'm talking about. And thirdly, we come to the hemorrhaging woman. The woman with the issue. I like the way Angie said it. She had women's issue. We women, we have many, many issues. And thank God that she had an issue. Her issue was of blood, the issue of blood. But your issue, whatever it is, Jesus once shows us something in this scripture. Hers was gynecological. She was bleeding for 12 years. Couldn't find healing. All her money had gone. Now, a sick woman reaching out to touch Jesus, you would think, oh, this is nothing big. But there was everything wrong. According to the tradition, there was everything wrong with what she did. First of all, she was a woman. And she's not meant to come near a man, speak to him, or touch him. Secondly, according to the law, she was unclean. For some of us, our issues have made us unclean. People think all sorts of things about us. We ourselves think all sorts of things about ourselves. This woman's issue, because Leviticus 15, 19 to 28 tells us that the woman in her natural flow is unclean. Whatever she touches becomes unclean. If she sits on this chair, it's unclean. It must be. Can you imagine how many women here, if we were suddenly in our period, we would really contaminate this place. Because according to the law, she was unclean. Because she was bleeding. And she would need to perform certain rites in order to cleanse herself. That was why she was afraid to touch Jesus. That she might make him unclean. That her issue might make Christ unclean. So she said, if the hem of his garment, the tiniest I can but touch, but that touch drew power from him. The power, you see, Jesus was motivated by one thing, compassion. I told you, God told me that his character, he said to me, if you want to see my power, in your life, then you must be compassionate. Because compassion is the key to my power. And compassion was what drove Jesus in all that he did. So the minute the woman touched him, compassion flowed from him to her. He did not make him dirty. Rather, that touch stirred up his power to heal him. So you can touch Jesus. Whatever your issue, touch him. Reach out and touch him. You know, he's passing through Clantwick Major today. He's saying, touch me. You can touch me. Whatever your issue, I will feel your touch. And of course, they were shocked. They said, who touched me? They were like, people are moving around. He said, no, power has gone out of me. Hallelujah. That we can touch him. I mean, if you imagine the pain, rejection, loneliness, isolation this woman must have felt for 12 years being considered unclean. And reaching out to touch because she desperately needed help. Jesus ignored the impurity laws and had mercy. Thank God for the blood. The blood purifies all things. And he had mercy for her. The woman was, she came trembling because she knew she was in trouble. But Jesus assured her. Hallelujah. He made her whole. That's what the scripture said. He showed compassion and affection. In calling her daughter, Jesus gave her back her identity. Daughter. Not woman. Daughter. Giving her back her identity. That she's a child of God. We have the Syrophoenician woman. Is that this one is also another foreigner. This time from Canaan. A Canaanite woman. A perverse nation. You find this in Matthew 15, 21 to 28. So again, this woman approaches Jesus. A perverse woman. The disciples said, send her away. They were sending, actually, they were sending the woman away. Three things worked against her. She was a woman in a public place. Then she was a Gentile. But specifically, she was a Canaanite, a perverse person. And Jesus reached out to her because what? She had faith in him. Jesus said, I can't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She said, no, the dogs can eat their crumbs. It showed that her faith to receive anything from Jesus. Sometimes we need to push that out and say, Lord, I know that whatever it is, you can give me it. And Jesus healed her, declared and said, your daughter has been set free. It doesn't matter what your race. It doesn't matter your family background. It doesn't matter your educational background. It doesn't matter your history, where you have been, what you have done, who you are, or whatever. Does not matter to Jesus. Because his agenda is to set all free. My sisters, if you meet Jesus, he will make a difference. Because he will touch you at your greatest need and set you free. Jesus did not stand on ceremony. Jesus did not regard anything. He had one purpose, to set the captives free. We have the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. In this case, two people had committed adultery. The man had gone scot-free. The woman, once again, was being blamed for it. But Jesus set her free. By law, she should have been stoned. And we heard about how somebody was stoned in the Middle East for driving a car. This one, she was about to be stoned for adultery. There was no mention of her partner. But Jesus silenced her accusers. He had compassion on her, and he forgave her. He said to her, neither do I condemn you. That's an unconditional love. Unconditional love. I don't condemn you. But I love the scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The guilt you feel, the shame you feel, is the accuser of the brethren who is accusing you, Satan. And you need to speak to and say, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No condemnation. A man, a pastor in his church, and there was a man, and the man every time would come to him and say, Pastor, this week you did this and this and that, and every time he had something the pastor had done. So one day the pastor said to me, do you pray for me? He said, no. So the pastor said, okay, I set you a task. This week pray for me that I won't get it wrong. The following week he rushed, he came back, he said, Pastor, I prayed for you. He said, yes, you did. What did you tell God? I was telling God the things you have done. And he said, what did God say? He said, God seemed confused because he said, there is no record of any of these things. Are you with me? There is no record. There is no record. Another story. A woman who was into prostitution and drugs, she walked into a church, gave her life to Jesus, and devoted her time to serving the Lord. She grew to love the Lord. She joined the choir. She was involved in church life. And the pastor's son fell in love with her. And it was announced in church. That was when the problem started. The church was like, how can the pastor's son marry a woman with such a background? It became a big issue. So the pastor said, okay, let's come together and discuss this. We are those for on this side, those against on this side. Now, give your arguments. They began to talk, to say, oh, she was this, she was this, she slept with many men and everything. By this time, the girl was just weeping. The young woman was weeping. The pastor's son got up and said something. It is not my fiancé whose past is on trial here. What is on trial here is whether the blood of Jesus can cleanse sin.
Yes, amen.
And cleanse permanent. Are you with me?
Yes.
We put the blood on trial all the time. When we accuse people, when we even accuse ourselves and let the condemnation and the shame and the guilt, which has already been dealt with on Calvary, when we still carry it, and we put the blood on trial, but the blood has already won for us. She's taken our shame. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is what Jesus did for this woman caught in adultery. And Jesus is still doing it for us here. We have the woman with the spirit of infirmity. And you're right. This woman was a woman. I mean, her condition was a spiritual problem. She had been bound by Satan, and it was manifesting in a physical condition. She was bowed. Can you imagine living life like this? Bowed. Your vision is narrow just to your surroundings. You have no force, no vision. Your life is limited. You are weighed down because her condition is still found amongst us. Maybe not physically, but in our minds. We don't have vision. We can't see anything of ourselves. We have become a laughing stock. And true, she did not reach out to Jesus. But Jesus reached out to her. Isn't that awesome? He reached out to her. He broke tradition and reached out to her and healed her. He healed her. Not only healed her, he called her, he gave her, redefined her identity. This Satan-bound woman, her identity was redefined, and he called her daughter of Abraham. Until then, Abraham only had sons. They only called the men the sons of Abraham. And Jesus said, now I'm bringing the daughters into the covenant. He called her daughter of Abraham, bringing us women into the covenant of Abraham, the inheritance
making us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you see why I love the man? I just love Jesus. He brought her into the covenant of Abraham. Changing her status from demon afflicted to child of God, a daughter of the king, a daughter of covenant. I want to say to you that your background is irrelevant. What your experience has been in the past till today is still irrelevant. The mistakes you have made are still irrelevant. Because today, the scripture is being fulfilled in this very room. And you have already been brought into the covenant when you received Christ. But perhaps you have not been very much aware. But today, revelation is coming that you are really and truly a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus. The covenant blessings of Israel, we claim them all because they have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, our problem is that we are not reading the will. If your father died and left you an inheritance, you would take the will and read it, wouldn't you? We are not reading the will to see what has been given us. This is the testament and will of our father, containing all the blessings that he has already released to us. Hallelujah. You need to read the will in Jesus' name. Now, I've talked about the woman with infirmity. Number 7, Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, talks about the women in Jesus' circle. When he moved, he had a company of women who went around with him, which was unusual, because usually it's men who accompany rabbis. But Jesus had He accepted women in his inner circle. I would like to believe I'm in his inner circle, you know. I really would like to believe that. I say to him, you know, the scripture says we are vessels. Yeah, we are vessels for God. And I say, Jesus, you know, the vessel I would want to be. I want to be the golden goblet from which the king drinks of, so I can touch your lips. I don't know which vessel you want to be, but I want to be the one he drinks from. So just because I can touch his lips. Women in his inner circles, they were not ordinary women, in that some of them had been delivered from all kinds of demonic situations. Had been immoral. Women from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of issues, this company walked with Jesus. The outcast of society. Those looked down on because they did not get it right. They went wayward. They were the company he walked with. And these women gave freely from their substance to take care of him and of their ministry. That was a complete break from tradition. At least half of his closest followers were women. Hallelujah. Then we have the first immoral woman to anoint him in Luke 7. This woman approached and just wept and wiped his feet with her hair. And Jesus allowed him to touch her. They criticized him for allowing it. But he said, hey, he who has been forgiven much, gives much. And this woman has been forgiven much. Jesus allowed her to touch him. We have Peter's mother-in-law. I love the story of Peter's mother-in-law. Not because there's a break from tradition as such. But the fact that Jesus healed her and immediately she rose up to serve him. And when Jesus touches you,
The first instinct must be, how do I to surrender my life to him and to serve him in whatever way pleases him? When you go to a restaurant, what does the waiter do? Does the waiter just bring you, or you enter, sit down, brings you water, brings you rice? No. The waiter waits on you. It's your pleasure. You order what you want, and then the waiter brings it. In the same way, we wait on him at his pleasure. What he wants for our lives, we rise up and do it. My favorite is Mary of Bethany again. We saw her at the beginning when Jesus was teaching her. But in Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9, we find Mary of Bethany appearing again. And this time, it was not Jesus who broke the taboos, it was Mary herself who broke them. Let's turn to Mark chapter 14. From verse 3 to 9, it says, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman. Now, when you read John 12, it tells you the identity of the woman as Mary, the sister of Martha. So, a woman came with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why waste this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages. Can you imagine? I don't know what the average salary is per year, but that perfume would have cost a year's salary. And the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. The poor you will always have with you. And you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Let's turn to John chapter 12. And let's read John's version of the same story. John chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 to 3. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Hallelujah. Now, this story moves me because it shows where Martha was at and Mary was. The Bible says Martha came in as usual to serve. Martha had not learned anything from walking with Jesus. She still came in to serve. Because those days, it was only the men who sat down to eat. The women only came in to serve. And Martha had continued the path she was on. We have so many Marthas in church. Busybodies. And they complain when others who are not into that are seeking loftier things. They complain about it. And they never learn. They never change. Don't be a Martha. Turn to a neighbor, say, don't be a Martha. But Mary came in Mary walked in without a tray. She did not come in with a platter to come and serve the audience. She came in with her most precious gift. She came in with a bottle of nard, the most fragrant perfume. And we were told in Mark that that perfume could be sold for a year's wages. So it's something that was a treasure to her. And she entered what I call a male-only club, because it's only men who sat that way to eat and talk. And Martha entered. Women were not allowed on such occasions, such as this one. But Mary entered. Then she took off her hair. You see, ministry for a long time has been the man's domain. But we are entering. I don't know about you, but we are entering. We are stepping in. Why? Because Jesus is there. Martha came because Jesus was there. She came and she knew that she would not be condemned because Jesus was there. When she came, she did something. She took off her veil. Are you ready to take off your veil? The Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory. Why is our glory covered? The glory was covered. And she decided, I'm taking the veil off. She took off her veil to reveal her glory. And she knelt down and with her glory and with her perfume, she wrapped it around the living body of Jesus Christ. The living body of Jesus Christ. She wrapped it around the living. Think of it carefully. She came in to a place where women are not allowed to. She took off her veil to reveal her glory, because her glory would no longer be hidden. And then she applied oil. Until that time, that oil was used for the dead. It's for preparing the dead. But she applied it on the living body of Jesus Christ. I'm sure the people were shocked when Jesus commended her. I believe that we've entered the days where, as women, we're entering where it has been men only. Simply because Jesus is there and he's sending us there. And there is a glory that women carry which is about to be unveiled. We're going to take our veils off. And we're going to come with our possessions, the things we consider precious, and we're going to break those bottles and all the little things we carry, thinking we have in the coming before our Savior, and we'll break it so that the fragrance will be smelt. We are the fragrance of Christ, yet this fragrance is being carried around in little containers and in little, we can't even share him. So the atmosphere, that is all, that stinks. And we are to change with our fragrance. It's about to be touched by us, because we will touch Jesus. And we will wrap our glory around his church, his living body. Not a dead church, a living church. When women rise up to build the church experiences revival. We're going to go on our knees and we're going to take the seeds of the kingdom. Where are the seeds of the kingdom? They are in the loins of the king. A male seeds are in his loins. And to take seed, you must come in to intimacy with the male. We're going to get intimate with Jesus. You see, one of my country coordinators, when I first met her and I preached from Isaiah
54, that your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. She went and she said, I took time to fast and seek God's face. Because she had been struggling with her husband for ministry. They have a church and he was not letting her have a place. And she felt she was called. So there was a constant struggle going on. I said, forget about your husband's church. Support him as best as you can, but turn to Jesus. When she turned to Jesus in this way, the Lord told him, she said, I wish she was here, she'll share her story. She said, the Lord called me barren. The Lord told me, you are barren. And she replied, I am not barren. I have four children. And God said, yes, you had four children for your human husband. But for me, your husband, Jesus Christ, you are barren. That's walking up. She said, Lord, how do I reproduce with you? The seeds of the king are in his loins. How do I take his seed? By getting intimate with the Lord. And take his seed. And incubated. Whatever a woman takes, she multiplies. God has created us like that. We multiply. You give a woman a seed of a man which you can't see with your natural eye. It's, you need a microscope to see a single male seed. And it gets into a woman's womb. And she multiplies it, multiplies it, multiplies it. Her body does it effortlessly. Until she creates, reproduces the man seed, the whole human being. And then she labors and bears. What would happen if we got close to Christ in intimacy and took on the seeds of his kingdom? What are the seeds of his kingdom? Righteousness. Righteousness in the land. Peace. And joy in the Holy Ghost. That righteousness shall prevail in Britain. There was once a time the church influenced the government in its laws. Now the government is not listening to the church because we have failed. Peace. Where is peace in Britain? Joy. Mary showed us. All these women. Why do you think that they stayed on the cross? It was the women who stayed till the last minute. Peter fled. It was the women who stayed with him to see even where he would be buried. It was the women who first went out on the day of resurrection to look for him. So they first saw him. And the first woman evangelist after his resurrection was still a woman. He said to Mary, go tell my disciples. That was the first go tell. Go tell my disciples. They had met the man and he had set them free. For the Bible says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free. Have you met Jesus? Have you met the man of Calvary? Have you truly met him? Because when you meet him, you will never be the same again. Every yoke will be broken. Every weight lifted. Oh, burdens lifted. A new person. Guilt. Shame. Depression, oppression, suppression, whatever shame is dealt with so that we can rise up free to serve him. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is here today without a shadow of doubt. I know he is here.